I have to be comfortable with those technologies also. And so a little bit of time adjusting, getting used to a microphone being in your face, the camera being on, you know, not having the energy of that you would normally have in a classroom experience, and finding ways to create that energy and that conversation a little bit differently, maybe asking questions differently. But again, I think it goes back to the very beginning of, you got to set those expectations up front. Tell people what you expect. I expect you to have your camera on. I expect you to engage in conversation. This is about you. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. And in order to get the very best experience, these are the things that you can do.
You're listening to OMAG All Access, a podcast about all things affecting municipalities in Oklahoma, hosted by OMAG Director of Technology Services, Kevin Seesaw.
Welcome to the OMAG All Access podcast. This is Technology Services Director Kevin Seesaw. I'm here today with Lori Mueller, our Professional Development and Training Coordinator. And I use the professional to say that she's not a professional development trainer. She is a professional development trainer. Welcome to the podcast, Lori.
Awesome. I'm excited to be with you today, Kevin.
So you're one of OMAG's newest employees, and we've had someone kind of in a professional development role in the past. Most of our listeners in our cities and towns remember Pam Spinks, a OMAG mainstay, and you've kind of not necessarily taken over the role, but taken it in a brand new direction.
Yes, I'm super excited about that, Kevin. I started November 8th and have been working on a needs assessment. So I've been meeting with leaders across our municipalities and our board members and our folks within our team here at OMAG to really understand what our needs are from a leadership development perspective so that we can equip our supervisors, our managers out in our communities to just do what they do a little bit better, to recognize in themselves something that they don't know exists, or approach a topic or a situation that maybe has been challenging in the past and equip them to address that with more confidence. So I'm really excited to get started. I've been buckling down, developing curriculum, which is so fun and so exciting to think that I'll be delivering that soon.
Good. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And you're actually going to be piloting that training with OMAG staff first, so we get the preview.
Yes, yes. I'm really excited about that as well. So a few things we'll be previewing early on, and some things we'll wait a little bit later. Yes, so our own leaders get the exciting opportunity.
The beta testers coming. Yes. I'm the IT guy, so yeah, it's a beta test.
Yeah, and you'll give me feedback and let me know if what I'm doing is going to meet those needs. And so it's a win-win for us, and it's hopefully a win-win for our cities and towns.
So tell me a little bit about some of your professional history and what you're bringing to OMAG, because you've kind of been all across the board. You've done, I know you were in healthcare before, and you were at Chemray. You've done professional development in a lot of different areas. Yeah. So help me understand some of that history.
Yeah. So I started my career actually in marketing and training, and recognized really quickly that training was a passion for me. As a little girl, I used to play school. So I guess I get to do it as an adult with adults, which is much more fun than kids, I think. So I started my career kind of over after a break, and went to work in healthcare, and really discovered a passion, not just for facilitating training experiences. And I use that word facilitating very intentionally, because I don't think that I should be the smartest person in the room. I'm there to help people have meaningful conversations and discover learning opportunities between each other. And so my role really is to facilitate that and create this platform and this comfortable environment for people to learn and grow. So when I discovered that I really love being in the classroom, but I even love developing programs more. So at Chemray, that's really what I had the opportunity to do. I developed a Frontline Leader Academy that was a 12-month program followed with a graduation, and we had 60 cohort members across four cohort groups. And so I anticipate that there will be a very similar model here at OMAG for our cities and towns, where our leaders across the entire state will have the opportunity to participate with a cohort group and really develop those solid relationships that they can lean into in times of challenge, in times of opportunity, and in times of growth. They really have that peer network to reach out to. So I'm excited about that. It was a successful program at Kimray. I developed all of the content for the program and then facilitated the program. And it was awesome. I really had a ton of fun with it and got to live out my personal mission of pouring into others and just seeing them grow.
And yeah, I mean, we see a few other programs in the state, leadership academies with OML and whatnot, where, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the benefit is being able to build those colleague relationships mm-hmm. for life. Now, you said graduation. Is that going to include the square hats? I just have to ask.
That's a great question. To be determined, maybe? I'm not sure. So I will tell you at Kimray, I did not use the square hats. It was really a celebration of the folks who'd invested in themselves. And that's really what participating in any learning experience is about, is a willingness and a desire to invest in yourself, to see things that maybe you don't love about your leadership style, and to recognize those things and to work to help grow in those areas, and then take those things that you already do well and continue to get better and influence other people through your effort. So maybe square hats, maybe not.
You heard it here first. That's a definite maybe.
OMAG All Access would like to thank you for listening to this podcast. For your time, we would like to offer you the chance to win a pair of OMAG All Access Bluetooth headphones. To enter, all you have to do is head to www.omag.org/allaccess and click on the corresponding image at the top of the screen. The password for each episode will change, so make sure you are always up to date on the newest episode of OMAG All Access by subscribing with your favorite podcast app. The password for this episode is OMAG. Follow the directions on the giveaway page and you will be entered. Good luck.
So how has your role, training, professional development, engaging with people to be trained, changed during the time of COVID? Not just obviously here at OMAG, since you're coming in on the tail end of all of this, mm-hmm. but how have you had to adapt?
Yeah. So that's, you know, personal relationships are best developed one-on-one or in group settings. So it certainly has made things a lot more challenging, but we're really fortunate to have great technology like Microsoft Teams, Zoom, things of that nature, that if you spend intentional time and set expectations up front, things like using your camera, mm-hmm. keeping it on, using the chat features, not being afraid to speak up in a different environment, treating it much like a classroom or a conference room versus I can check out because I'm working virtually. Those kinds of things, setting those expectations up front are really important.
And that's your role as a facilitator of training, is to get people comfortable.
Yes, yes, it is. And I have to be comfortable with those technologies also. And so a little bit of time adjusting, getting used to a microphone being in your face, the camera being on, you know, not having the energy that you would normally have in a classroom experience, and finding ways to create that energy and that conversation a little bit differently, maybe asking questions differently. But again, I think it goes back to the very beginning of, you've got to set those expectations up front. Tell people what you expect. I expect you to have your camera on. I expect you to engage in conversation. This is about you. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. And in order to get the very best experience, these are the things that you can do to have that experience. Really, you own your own experience and how engaged you want to be. And this is time that you get to set aside to be poured into so that you can pour into others. And let's take advantage of that. So you get to participate in training. You get to turn your camera on. You get to invest in you. So let's do that. And so setting those expectations has really helped. It takes longer to build those relationships in a virtual setting, but it can work with intention, with direction, with expectations.
And approaching it with a positive mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah. You probably heard my language there, get to. One of the things, Kevin, that I learned early on in my career is that people think training is fun. And it is. It's fun to get out and meet people. It's exciting, but it's also challenging. And it's taxing on your body physically. You're standing up, you're talking, you're on point all day, every day. And it's easy sometimes to get discouraged when you're writing curriculum and thinking, this isn't coming together the way I wanted it to. It takes about 40 hours to develop 1 hour of curriculum. So that's a lot of investment that you're not really doing what it is that you really love doing, that's pouring into people. And so there's days where it gets maybe a little challenging. And so I shifted my mindset many years ago, avoiding the term, I have to. Mm-hmm. I have to develop this curriculum. I have to travel to Sealing, Oklahoma. I have to. And instead—
No offense to Sealing, by the way. Exactly. It is a bit of a drive from the metro.
Yeah, it is. And so I shifted from saying I have to I get to. And that really, that simple shift really does impact your thinking and your mindset about what you get to do every day.
Now, talking about the challenges and kind of pushing through some of that, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, yes, we get to continue to engage through the time of COVID. We get to adapt to a hybrid model. But there is still such a thing as Zoom fatigue. And how have you found strategies to kind of work through some of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd love to hear what you've done.
First thing I would say is try to minimize the amount of time spent in a virtual classroom or virtual training environment. I think what I've seen is some of the groups that I've worked with where it's online meetings and online first or online only. The idea is that instead of an 8-hour physical conference space with an exhibit hall, with booths, with physical networking, it's now a 3 or 4 hour day with, you know, some online websites where it's like virtual exhibitor booths and some a little more, you know, quiet time where if you get pulled away because of a phone call, because of an email, it's not a big deal. But essentially, it's recognizing the fact that just because you were at a conference for 8 hours a day doesn't mean you were being receptive for that full 8 hours.
Sure.
You really weren't. You were enjoying the opportunity to network, visit with your colleagues, catch up with your peers for a decent chunk of that. And that is what fell off during these virtual meetings.
Yeah. So Kevin, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, I think as a facilitator, one of the things that I'm responsible for is keeping things in shorter chunks of time and giving people opportunity to just hang out and talk. One of the things that happened early on with COVID was a virtual happy hour. Now, we didn't have drinks. It wasn't that kind of happy hour, but happy from the perspective of what can we share that we're excited about today? So a happy hour, let's talk about what's good in the world, what good is happening on our team, what good is happening within our
jokes,
organization.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so to just let it be a more natural conversation and not forced was one of the things that we did early on. And it really helped keep that connection and then keeping the learning in smaller chunks of time, no more than 60 to 90 minutes, allowing people the opportunity to take a break, making sure that people had access to the materials virtually and had opportunities to print those or had fillable forms, those kinds of things, so that they're still being able to take those same kinds of notes that they would if they were in person and had the same tools to direct those notes, but maybe in a little bit different format. So I think those are a couple of things that early on and still today continue to do. And then going back to setting expectations. If you don't set expectations that you want people to be engaged, they're going to set their own and think, this is an opportunity for me to get other work done.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's not. This is an opportunity for you to invest in you.
We hope you can take something away from this podcast that will help your city or town. You can find more information about OMAG on our website at www.omag.org or on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening. If you have questions or ideas for a podcast topic, please send them to allaccess@omag.org. We don't want to leave you wanting more, but to keep your time in mind, this segment will be continued on the next episode of OMAG All Access. This episode is copyright OMAG 2022 under the Creative Commons 4.0 Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.